بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. الحمد لله, Allah سبحانه وتعالى has given us the opportunity to come back again for His sake, to seek the pleasure of Allah سبحانه وتعالى and try to shed some light on a very important topic of Islam, in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that it does complete half the faith of a believer. So in context, marriage is part of iman, is part of faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if any person were to say, I am not going to get married, or I don't want to get married, then he's going against the sunnah and the way of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because there was a man during the time of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there were three men, but one of them, he said, I will never get married, to try to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard about this person, he said, I get married, I have wives, and whoever does not like my way, then he is not part of me, and he's not part of the sunnah or the way of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And marriage is something that a person cannot run away from. Marriage has rights, it has responsibilities, it has problems, it has situations, and it transforms an ordinary person into a man. Because now, he has responsibility, he has to put effort. He no longer thinks about himself, he has to think about himself, his wife, and he also has to think about his children. So first and foremost, what is marriage in Islam? And now what you have in front of you is some course notes. Some of these notes I'm going to leave for you to read by yourself at a convenient time. Why? It's because we want to try to cover as much as we can in this short period of time. But pretty much we'll go through the most important aspects of yani marriage and some vital information that we have in this booklet. And there are opportunities for you to write your notes. There's a couple of things like work sheets that you complete. Inshallah, we'll go through them. So what is marriage? What is zawaj? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَخَلَقْنَاكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us in what? In pairs. So opposites. But these opposites come together. So marriage or zawaj, it is a union between a man and the woman. Islam does not and will never define marriage to be between a man or a man, or a woman or a woman. It does not exist in Islam. And all the avenues of this theory has been slammed and has been distanced from the religion of Islam. The marriage in Islam is between a man and a woman, taken underneath the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that fulfills the conditions of the marriage contract. So first and foremost, marriage, for it to be valid, it has to be between obviously a man and a woman, and there have to be believers in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Muslims, and has to be taken underneath the permission of Allah, underneath the conditions of the contract of marriage. Now what is the contract of marriage? Is when a man and a woman, he wants to get married, he seeks permission or seeks the hand in marriage, in which the wali or the guardian of the woman, he gives his daughter, and if there's no father, then the niece, and if there's no uncle, then the brother, and there's none of them, maybe even the grandfather, to give the woman under his responsibility in marriage to another person, in which there is what they call aqad nikah, which means the marriage contract. There's the mahar, which is the dowry, and there's the witnesses, the two witnesses, and offer and acceptance. So there's an offer, and the man, he accepts. When this occurs, automatically this person now is married. And this is one of the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person cannot deny that marriage is one of the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا. From the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from His signs, that He created for you wives, spouses, that you may live with them. That you may live together. See, in Islam, there's no boyfriend, girlfriend, or hanging out, or as they say, you meet someone one day, you meet another person another day. No, it is a bonding relationship in which is taken underneath the permission of Allah, and it's one of the signs of Allah. He created wives for you. Someone's wife is already there. Allah created that woman for him, that you may live with them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. And Allah placed between you tranquility and mercy. This is one of the common ayat that we use in regards to marriage. Another common verse that we use for marriage is one that most of people have heard: "Hunna libasun lakum wa antum libasun lahun." That they are a cover for you and you are a cover for them. Meaning that you, as married couples, you protect one another. You love one another. You take care of one another, like your clothes, right? You are a garment for her and she is a garment for you. Now, if we were to strip you of your clothes, what would happen? Right, you would feel embarrassed. You won't have protection. You won't have warmth. You won't have any source of protection or covering. Likewise, the man does the same thing for the woman. He protects her. He guards her. He looks after her, just like the jacket or the thobe or the shirt protects the man or the woman. The same thing. The husband does exactly the same thing. And people wear different clothes for different situations. Therefore, the husband, he adjusts himself in different circumstances for his wife. Obviously, when she's pregnant, she's going to give birth, her emotions are a little bit stronger. So therefore, he has to adjust the clothes, he has to adjust his level of patience. And same thing for the woman. If the man is working hard and is stressed, she also has to adjust her dressing to her husband, meaning the way that she protects him. She has to be more patient. So just like you are a garment for her and she's a garment for you, when you put on clothes, you put it according to the environment that you're in. If it's cold, you put more. If it's hot, you put less. If you're inside, you're just different to what you're outside. The same thing, the man, when he protects the woman, in every circumstance, he adjusts to that. And same thing with the woman. Now people, they get married for a lot of reasons. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that a woman is married for four reasons. And if there's only four reasons someone would want to marry a woman in Islam. One is because of beauty. He sees that she's a very beautiful woman. So he wants to marry her. Which is nothing wrong with that. But there's something better than all this. Second is because of her wealth. You know, she has wealth, status. Or her tribe, or her family. And second, because of her family lineage. Right? Again, she has family status from a good family, respected family. And because of her deen, because of her religion. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and in other words, put everything else aside, he said, so be successful with the one that has deen, and Allah will bless you. Go with the one that has religion. Go with the woman that has deen. If you had a choice, if you had a beautiful woman, mashallah, you had a rich woman, mashallah, you had a woman of great lineage, mashallah, then you had a woman which is pious. And I were to come to you and say, pick one of them for marriage. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, pick the one that has iman. Pick the one that has faith. Pick the one that has belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The one that has good character. The one that has manners. The one that worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Pick her because she's over the rest. And Allah will bless you in that. How many people have gotten married to women because of their beauty? Beauty fades. How many people have gotten married to women because they have wealth? Wealth doesn't last forever. How many people have gotten in marriage because of the lineage? Lineage doesn't mean anything. Just because someone's from a good family does not mean nothing. That person could be corrupt. So again, does not mean anything. What's the proof? Is the iman, is the faith of a person. Is the belief of a person. And the best thing that a person he could have is a pious wife. We said that people get married for the wrong reasons. Puppy love. I call it puppy love. Puppy love is that someone, he sees a woman and he's got this tickle and khalas, automatically he loves her. He doesn't even know her. People fall in love and they haven't even spoken to that woman. What's wrong with you? How can you love someone? You don't even know them. You don't know nothing about them. This is love or shaitanic or satanic love. A person thinks he's eluded. He thinks he's in love. But there's nothing there. You haven't even spoken to her. You haven't even communicated with her. You know nothing about her. How on earth can you know anything about this person? But this is what we have. We have a lot of the young guys falling into this, what they call puppy love. Love at first sight. You can't love someone from first sight. You know, you subhanAllah, you're walking, you see a sister with her mother, whatever, and all of a sudden you love. Habibi, what are you doing? This doesn't exist in Islam. There's a thing as an angel called Cupid that goes around and shoots an arrow if you see someone and then all of a sudden you fall in love in a magical land and everything becomes a wonderland. Doesn't exist. That does not exist in Islam. There's no such thing as love at first sight. Rather, people are deluded to think that they can have a loving relationship forever just because they love something for the first time. It's like someone, he sees a beautiful car. He says, wow, this is a very beautiful car. Someone, he sees a Ferrari. He says, wow, I love to have a Ferrari. Love at first sight. And then he goes, buys one. Then he finds out that the registration for it is 10 times as much as any other car. Then he finds out to run the petrol is 10 times more than any other car. Then he finds out that his garage is not good enough to park it in, so he has to build another garage for it. And then he finds out to himself, you know what? This car is not what I thought it may be. Every time he parks it somewhere, he's thinking about it. He's worried about it. He can't park it outside. He can't leave it at a shopping center. He can't do anything. What happened to your love at first sight? You were fooled to believe that this is something that you want and you need. But in reality, it's more than what you can handle. So love at first sight does not mean anything in Islam. Fortune tales. Right? What's fortune tales? And what do you mean by fortune tales? You know, a person, he's in love with a sister or whatever, or he likes someone, or is interested in someone. And then, subhanAllah, he might go on a holiday and he bump into him somewhere in the middle of nowhere or whatever, and he'll think that that's a sign from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, it's such a fortune. That means that we're meant to be together. There's no such thing as that in Islam. Omens and good luck and bad luck and fortune, you know, or whatever it may be, that does not exist in Islam. Or going to a fortune teller and that tells you, oh, this person is the one you're going to marry, that does not exist in Islam. And that is actually haram to do that and to think like that. Online chatting to find a wife does not exist. Again, some people, they fall in love with someone just by chatting. Habib, you could be chatting to a man. It's true. You know, you're falling in love with this person over the internet. You know nothing about him. Could be a man on the other side just playing, doing a joke on you. Again, because you've taken a path other than the path of Islam to go about choosing a wife. So online chatting and whatever it may be, this is wrong. And he, subhanAllah, and he, once upon a time someone showed me these profiles that people put up. And we have a person with hijab, for example, or a man in a abaya. And the first thing they say is, I fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and I want a religious wife. Then why are you there? What are you there for? That's not a place that people fear Allah to hang out. You don't go to a club or a pub, or you don't go to a place of haram or gathering or mixing or whatever it may be and say, I want someone that fears Allah. No, where do you find pious women? Do you find them in these places or do you find them in the masajid or the houses of their parents? This is where you find them. You don't find them in places like that. You know, I fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and this and that, whatever. SubhanAllah. That does not exist. That's not a way of someone going about. Now someone might say, oh, hey, but I found my wife through that. Okay, you might be one out of a million exceptions. But the majority of people has not worked out like that. And it won't work out like that. Because it's not the way that we go about seeking wives in Islam. Fake beauty. Again, a person is attracted to the outside and hasn't even conversated with the person. A person should always look to what's in the heart of a person. Because you're going to be living with the heart. You're not going to be living with the beauty of someone. You know, when you go to sleep at night and waking up in the morning, there's no beauty there. You're living with the heart, the character, the manners of the actual person. And like I said, the destiny theory, you know, she's my destiny and whatever it may be, that all does not exist. You know, and all these people, they try to do these possible of love and all these formulas to see if they're made for one another. Habibi, this does not exist in Islam. Person wants to seek marriage, he seeks marriage according to the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Tayyib, we went through this already, that yani, this life is a quick enjoyment and the best of those enjoyments is a righteous and pious wife. And we went through the ayah of how the woman, the man protects the woman, and the woman, they're a garment and they're a protector of one another. And they're the points that we mentioned to protect them from harm. And the garments, their garments are customized, right? Alright, brothers, there's no worksheets left. But what we'll do, inshallah, give your email to Brother Ahsan and we'll email you the whole booklet, inshallah. Garments also, they're customized, yeah? A lot of people, they like to get customized stuff. Especially the Arabs, when they get their thobes and that, they get them customized. Again, you are customized to your wife and your wife is customized to you. That's why you're made for one another, you're tailored for one another. And obviously another thing is that your thobe, it protects your secrets, you know? You've got scars, you've got birthmarks, you've got things. The clothes protect that. And same thing, the husband and wife, they protect each other's secrets. Right? A husband doesn't go telling people about his wife's secret, you know, or my wife's bold. You don't go around exposing stuff like that. Or she turns around and says, you know, my husband's got a big birthmark on his back. These are secrets. And just like a garment protects the man, the woman and the husband protect one another from secrets. And they don't expose the secrets of the husband. Oh, my husband snores. She tells all her friends, my husband snores all night. You don't need to give that information. That's not necessary. And vice versa, the husband doesn't go around spreading the secrets of his wife. It's not, she's got this medical condition, that medical... Who cares? This is a secret. No one needs to know that. And a lot of fitna can be spread because of people spreading each other's secret. And obviously supporting and being there for one another. Dave, what is the virtues of marriage? What are the benefits? First and foremost, that marriage controls the natural desire that's been placed inside men, and we'll discuss that later in detail. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi, he said, oh young men, those that can support a wife should marry. Any those that have some financial support, go and get married. For marriage, it controls the gaze and preserves one from committing evil actions, to committing haram actions. But those who cannot should fast, for it is a means of suppressing the desire. So in this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ is saying, if you're able to get married, then go and get married. Why? Because marriage, it brings down the desire. It helps a person control his desire. And it avoids him falling into haram. Marriage is also making someone complete. And we mentioned that already. That marriage, it completes a person. A person who would always feel empty until he's actually married. And that's when he becomes complete. It also stabilizes the marriage couple. So normally when someone is single, you find him, he's jumping all over the place. Right? He's not stable. There's no control in his life. There's no timetable in his life. Right? He'll go here, go there, go late. He'll stay up to 12 o'clock at night with his friends. Yeah, he'll go out here and go out there and he'll wake up. There's no order in his life whatsoever. He doesn't only think about himself. He's not thinking about anyone else. But once a person gets married, no longer thinking about himself anymore. Has to think about his wife. So it stabilizes him. It settles him down. It controls him. Why? It's because now your first right and responsibility is to your family, to your wife, to your children. So it settles the person down. It also increases a person's iman. It increases a person's faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا. Oh, you believe, save yourself and your family from the hellfire. So a Muslim, he looks after himself and his family and he tries to prevent them and he saves them from entering the hellfire. To feel loved and to feel cared for. One of the main pillars of marriage is love. What is love in regards to marriage? It is emotional feeling that you're united with someone. and a connection between your partner, which is for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The love that a person he has for his spouse is different to the love that someone has to their family. It is a different type of love, right? It is love of affection, a love of emotion. It is a bonding love that a person he has. For the spouse, the love comes by choice. So you've chose to love your wife, but your family, you have to love them. You don't have a choice. You hate them, but you have to love them. But the wife, you've chosen to love her. And that's something special. And yani, these feelings of emotion and love is what brings the person together, but underline that it has to be for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sake. So when we find couples who are going out in haram, right? Relationship, girlfriend, boyfriend, and they claim that in love, this is only temporary, they're only feeling a high. You know, when someone he takes drugs, he has a high. They're only having a high. And shaitan, he's using this and he's putting this in the heart of men. And this is an unrealistic love. Because it's not for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at the marriage couples that have been together for a long time. Right? They don't have this kind of love. You know, the ones that have been together forever. You know, especially like our parents have been together 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years, 60 years. Right? Did you find that they were running away from their houses, leaving their family? Did you find the wife packing everything and leaving and running away with another man? No, that didn't exist. When there was a problem, the man and woman would end up in hospital due to a broken heart. That didn't exist. They used to work things out. Or saying, I love you every 30 seconds. They knew, khalas, a person that's in love with his wife. You know some people, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you, I miss you, I love you. That's all it is all day. But there's no action. It's only words which have been spoken. But if you look at our parents, their love was firm. You might sometimes think, you know what, really I don't think my mom and dad love one another, but separate them for a week and see what happens. One stops eating, other one stops drinking, they start getting stressed out, they miss one another. That's true love. Holding hands and kissing in public, do we ever see that from the old generations? No. Because that's not a proof to anything. Just because somebody holds his hand in public, it means, khalas, he loves her. Or showing the entire world, look, I'm in love. No. That's not a proof for everything. Or ready to kill or commit suicide to be with one another. How many people, their parents, they disagree, so they go commit suicide together. That failed. Because the whole point was to be together. They killed each other. And as the Prophet ﷺ said, someone that kills himself, the way he killed himself is going to be repeated in the hellfire. Right? So if you jump off the bridge in the hellfire, you'll be jumping on a continuous basis. So what type of life did you live? Oh, I want to be with her because I love her, so you kill yourself? That just contradicted everything. Or he ends up killing someone else. What have you done? And he ends up being life in jail. Whoa, you've defeated your purpose. Because it's not true love for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Losing his friends and jobs. Did our parents ever lose their friends and jobs because of our mothers? No. But people are ready to sacrifice everything for a woman. Which, there's no true love between them. Or some people buying the entire florist. Yeah, or even I put here an overgrown teddy bear. Right? There's big, huge teddy bears. Did our parents ever come home to our mothers with a big teddy bear and half the florist and say, yeah, I love you? They may have come home with a bunch of flowers, a rose, a box of chocolates, alright. But did they ever go to that extent? No. Because it's not, this is Western love. This is the Western way of showing love. That's to make you think that I'm in love. Right? That there's love between our relationship. There's nothing. And then the next day, they're ready to kill one another. They're ready to take each other to court and to scam or to take everything that they own to get every cent from him. You know, I met a guy once, he was a hairdresser, and this is the area in which I was living, the closest hairdresser. He was a Russian guy, and he had his dog with him at the hairdresser in the back. And I asked him, I said, "It's very strange you bring your dog to work." He goes, "Yeah, well, I divorced my wife. And I told him, I go, man, last week you've been closed." He said, "Yeah, I've been at court." Why? Because he divorced his wife, That's his dog that he had for 110 years, that he loves his dog so much, and there's a court battle for the dog. There's a court battle for the dog. He goes, my wife is trying to get the dog off me. And his ex-wife, she took everything he had and she's trying to take the dog. Just to upset me, he goes, just to upset me. So I take it to work with me, so just in case I leave him at home, no one steals him. SubhanAllah. What else going on here? And he said, we were once in love. And what happened? Do you know what happened? It was all fake. People were thinking they were in love for Allah's sake. Or thinking they were in love, proper love. But they weren't. If a person does not love for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that will never last. It will never last. A marriage without the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would crumble very, very quickly. Even the smallest thing will end that marriage. The smallest thing. Why? It's because it's all fake. You know, we have a lot of fake things in this world. Right? A person, he sees furniture, he goes, well, this is real, and it's plastic. You know, once there was an incident, my brother was visiting a wife for marriage, and the wife's family appears to be very high class. Yeah, very, very high class, like we're something special. And their house was full of marble. Full of marble. Marble table, marble this, marble that. And the father of the brother that went, he's one of those guys that don't have any, as they say, he's not embarrassed to ask. So he went to the house and they're sitting there and he's looking at this dining table made of marble. He's saying, this is an amazing dining table. Look how amazing it is. And he wanted to have a closer look, so he got up and he walked to the dining table and he said to the parents of the bride, this is an amazing dining table. It's real marble? And they said, yes, it is. And so then he tapped on the dining table and it was hollow. It was made of wood. It was just covered to appear like it's made out of marble. It was fake. That's the world that we live in. Everything is fake. Everything is fake and people want to believe it's real. It's a fantasy. You know how many kids, the worst thing that ever happened to children is when they started playing episodes of Superman. You know how many children are sitting in wheelchairs because of Superman? They climbed up on their roof and they jumped thinking they could fly. And they landed head first. Why? It's because they believe that's real. They believe that can be done. Oh, he can fly, why can't I fly? So they put on a Superman costume and they jump. Because the fantasy world that we live, we try to force ourselves sometimes to believe something which doesn't really exist. Which is not true. And you look at even cartoons these days, they're trying to promote love, 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 love. This cartoon character's love of this cartoon character. Even the cartoons, the love has hit. So subhanAllah, how now everything is love, 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 but if it's not love for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it's never going to exist. Having children and opening up a house. When having a family, it's no longer about you, you, you. We spoke about this already. It's about your spouse, your children, your family. It opens up the doors of responsibility. It increases the blessings of the household and marriage. Even though those that delay having children will always find something missing in their life. So those that say, you know, I'm not going to have children now. I'm going to wait 5 years. They'll always find, you know what, there's something missing in that household. There's something missing in that family. It's important that the man, he takes the responsibility as the guardian of the house, the protector and the leader. These days we see things other way around where the housewife, the man is the housewife and the woman which is working and running the affairs of the house. This is what we see. This is the Western way where you see a man on working hours with a pram at the shopping center. Why? It's because he's babysitting the kids and where's his wife? She's at work. What's happened? The roles have been crossed over. The man is looking after the children and the woman. What's going on? The man's vacuuming the house and alhamdulillah, the man should help, but you don't swap roles. She's working. And once I met a man with a pram. And I just asked him, informally, okay, how's work going? He goes, I'm just looking after the kids for a little while. My wife works. I said, why is that? He goes, my wife, what had happened is that when they had children, They had a conversation, him and his wife. She says, listen, you earn this much, I earn more than you. So if I leave my job, we actually have less money. But if you leave your job, then we actually have more money. So therefore, you look after the kids and I'll go to work. And he agreed. Subhanallah. That's not the way Islam works. Everyone has their rights and everyone has their responsibilities. The man, yeah, should help out, but he doesn't take the full responsibility of being the housewife. And the woman goes out and works. It does not work like that in Islam. The messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we all know this hadith, just to mention part of it, that all of you are guardians and are responsible for their subjects. So pretty much, and from this hadith, the woman is the guardian in her husband's house and responsible for her wards. And obviously, yani, the man is responsible in the guardian over his family. So the woman protects the house and the man protects the woman and the family. Everyone has their rights and responsibilities to one another. Now 2.7, the best thing that a person can have. A person can have many things in this world. It's a new car, a new phone, whatever it may be, new clothes and so on. However, out of all these enjoyments, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, shall I tell you the most precious thing a man can have? It is a righteous wife. When he looks at her, he is pleased. And when he tells her to do something, she obeys. And she is always faithful and loyal to him. Maybe a small spelling mistake. So she's always faithful and she's always loyal to him. The best thing that a man can have is a righteous and pious wife. He looks at her, he's pleased, he's happy. Why? It's because she's fulfilling his responsibilities and at the same time he's fulfilling his responsibilities too. A lot of times people, they look at their wife and they just want to beat her up. Why? What happened? It's because first of all, maybe you're not recognizing how much effort she's putting in to sustaining the household. Some women, they put a lot of effort, but the husband doesn't recognize that. Why? It's because they want a Hollywood wife. They always dresses up, always in high heels, and always got her hair done. That doesn't exist like that in their household. You go to these stars, in their houses, yeah? They're grubs, as they call them. They've got no life. But in the Hollywood life, they go outside, obviously they're going to pack up makeup and dress up. Don't expect that from a woman which is running after your kids, trying to do the washing for your clothes so you can go to work, prepare food for you at the same time, prepare the beds, clean up the bathroom, feed the kids, change the nappies. Don't expect all that. Rather, you should be honored that you have someone looking after your household. You should be honored. And respect the fact that this person has sacrificed and they're not doing it for money. The wife is not doing it for wealth. You're not giving her a wage. Right? She's doing it because she loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and she loves her husband. So people, they sometimes pick on these things, and we'll mention some of this later on inshaAllah. Marriage underneath the feet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always a good marriage. One way or another. A Muslim couple should not hate one another. They are believers in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just like Islam, you're not allowed to hate a brother or a sister. Yani your wife, once upon a time, she was your sister in Islam, but now she's your wife. You wouldn't hate her when she was a sister in Islam. Your brother, your own brother in Islam, would you hate him? Are you allowed to hate a brother? Are you allowed not to speak to a brother for more than 3 days? You're not allowed to hate another Muslim, or curse another Muslim, or swear at another Muslim. Now how about your own wife, that you have more right to her and over her than the brother? You're more responsible. But what you find is a lot of hatred sometimes between married couples. The Prophet ﷺ said, the believing man should not hate a believing woman. The Muslim should not hate a believing woman. His wife, he should not hate her. If he dislikes one of her characteristics, there will be others in which he pleased with, that he'll be pleased with. No man or no woman is 100% terrible. Doesn't exist. There is no man or woman which is 100% bad. Maybe 1%, 2%, 3%, 4%, 10%, 20%. But no Muslim man and woman practicing deen is 100% terrible. And we'll go through an example of this later. Everyone has good in them. Sometimes a married couple forget about any good and only look towards the evil and bad things. They only worry about the bad things. There was a brother that once we were doing an arbitration for because he had problems with his wife. What he'll do is that he'll come home, right, and on top of the door frame he'll run his finger, and if there was dust on there he'll go crazy. He said, look, you don't know how to clean. His wife said, how the hell am I supposed to get up on top of the door frame and clean it? No, this house is not clean. Even though she's worked all day to clean the house. But he's got an unrealistic problem. You never accept a wife to get a ladder, climb up on top of the door frame and clean it. No one checks that. But he was paranoid. He was paranoid with dust. Had this paranoia. Brother, you've got to be patient. If you're not happy, go hire a cleaner to get a ladder and climb up and clean the door frames and clean the roof too. Don't place or expect unrealistic things from the wife. Doesn't exist. A person comes home, he said, listen, I've invited people over, they're going to come in about 1 hour, can you cook something? That's unrealistic. That's unrealistic. And then you get upset, no, you never listen to what I say, you never do what I want to do, you don't obey me, you don't listen to me. Have you given her 1 hour? Do you want your wife to cook something which doesn't taste nice and be embarrassed? Or do you want her to do a proper job? You're the one that made the mistake, not her. So when you give a request, it has to be a realistic request. So no man or woman is 100%. One small trick to overcome this problem of falling into this trap, if a person he hates his wife and he just doesn't find happiness anymore, look at your wife when she's praying. And the wife, look at the husband when he's praying. Right? And say to yourself, you know what? This slave, this woman that I'm married to, she's worshipping Allah. She's a slave of Allah. How can I harm? How can I upset? How can I offend someone that Allah loves? While every other woman, other than a Muslim or a pious woman, is in the streets, drinking alcohol, right? Dishonoring herself, showing her awra, dressing like evil and corrupt women do, out all night, flirting, committing zina, right, and things that Allah musta'in, what they fall into, and my wife is here worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How can I have my anger at her but I haven't got anger about these others? That should make a person more angry that there are people in this world, Muslims, so-called Muslims in this world, which are committing haram. My wife is a pious wife. She's worshipping Allah. How can I hate her? How can I be displeased with her? She covers herself. She puts on hijab to protect herself. How can I hate someone like this? This is a good way to remind yourself that this person is a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hibatullah, she's a slave of Allah. I shouldn't hate her because maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will hate me for hating one of his slaves. And obviously deal with them in kindness and tranquility. And if you dislike one thing, then you would like something else. Alright, on the next page, what we have here is number 2.9 is a circle of marriage. Okay? Now, marriage, truthfulness, sacrifice, sharing, communication, love and trust, protection, finance, respect, love and responsibility, spending time. All these things are or should be within what? The Sharia of Islam. Everything. If this circle of marriage does not exist within the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it failed. If you want to take sacrifice outside the Sharia, you're not sacrificing for Allah's sake, then it's failed. If your finance and your spending time is not from the Sharia, not for the sake of Allah, within obedience to what Allah has advised, then it's failed. All that has to be done with or underneath the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. 2.10 is the circle of love. Yani what aspects that a person he needs to increase the love within his own household. That inshaAllah I'll leave it to you, that to spend time, that you can sit with your wife and you can write some points down of how we can increase love between us. Right? And this is also related, if you look at the back page, if people are having problems in their marriage, yourself, family, friends, whatever, give them this timetable at the back. Now, first to say, why the hell do I need a timetable? Right? Do you know how many marriages this timetable has saved? tell your wife, listen, what you do on this timetable, the biggest complaint of any wife is the husband's not spending enough time. Cross off the hours that you are at work, and cross off the hours you are at the mosque. And you tell your wife, you pick 2 hours in that week, or 3 hours in that week, that's only between me and you. Cross them off. And these hours, these 1 or 2 or 3 or 4 hours, is the time I'm going to spend with you. And we're going to stick it up on the fridge, and we're going to spend time together. Be it sitting together, be it going out to a restaurant, be it that we just read Quran together, be it that we just have a cup of tea together. This time is for you. Once the woman knows that, you know what, these times I'm going to spend with my husband, she's not going to complain as much. Because if she comes and says, why are you working? You say, listen, your time is on Friday afternoon. She says, okay. She knows it's there. It's like when a woman comes in, you never buy me anything? Oh, I bought a present, it's in the mail. If she's expecting it, she'll be happy. She'll wait for it, even if it takes 2 weeks. She knows it's on its way. Same thing here. The woman knows that, you know what, yep, this is my time. And she's not going to come and say, hey, listen, we need this, we need that, we need to go here, go. Darling, our time is on Sunday from 9 to 1. Whatever you want, wherever you want to go. You want to go shopping? I'll take you. Wherever you want to go, this is your time. Every woman will be happy with that. No one would say, no, I'm not going to do that. I want to go every... No, they have to understand. Man has work, man has responsibilities. But what they want is some quality time. So that's the time that the husband and the wife spends special time with one another. And whatever the woman wants. She wants to go shopping, she wants... But for example, my time is a Monday. Monday morning. If my wife needs something, needs to go somewhere, needs to go to the doctors, whatever it may be, if there's nothing, then it's just breakfast. And you know what? When that was implemented in my life and many other brothers' life, it made things a lot easier. Because if the woman ever needed anything and you can't do it, you tell inshallah, just wait till Monday, we'll do it. You want to go for an x-ray ultrasound? No worries, Monday we'll do it. You want me to take you to this? No way, Monday we'll do it. Khalas, Monday is your time. And it does help a lot in marriage. Or it could be a couple of times during the week. But it's a time in which you have freed yourself for the needs and responsibilities of your family. Especially, obviously, the wife. The rights of the husband. We'll start with the rights of the husband. And we'll go through a little bit of the detail about the rights of the husband. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that if a woman says her prayers, fasts the month of Ramadan, guards her private parts, meaning she guards herself and she covers herself, and her obeys her husband, she may enter paradise through any door she likes. So any woman which prays, fasts, is chaste, and obeys her husband, all the gates of Jannah will be open for her to enter through any gate she pleases. How easy is that? Subhanallah. The woman has such ease. Just pray your prayers. Fast the month of Ramadan. Cover yourself. Wear hijab and obey your husband. And Jannah inshaAllah. Not just Jannah. Any door of Jannah will be open for you to enter. So what are the rights of the husband? First and foremost, that the wife is obedient to the husband. So the rights of the husband is the wife, she obeys him. However, there is no obedience in a sinful act. Obedience is only what is good and right, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. So obedience to the husband takes over obedience to the parents. This is because the woman is something very important. And many people may say, you know what, that's not fair. Well, let me explain it a little bit. Once the husband, he comes and he takes the woman outside of her parents' house, and if she comes into his house, he's now responsible. Right? He's now responsible for everything. Therefore, the wife should be obedient to the husband. However, it doesn't mean that the husband takes advantage of it. It doesn't mean if the mother calls and says, you know, darling, can you please take me to the shops? And she tells her husband says, no, I don't want you to go. And you have to listen to me. No. That's just going to cause you trouble in the long run. Why? It's because your wife's not asking anything which is not capable. And your wife wants to take her mother. You should be understanding on that. You should be caring on that. But in general, yes, the obedience of the husband comes over the obedience of the parents of the wife. But the husband has to be very cautious in when he implements that ruling. He should not implement that ruling when it comes to something in which the parents need and can't get it any other way. They got a doctor's appointment. They called the daughter, please, can you take me to doctor's appointment? No, my husband said no. No, you should be thoughtful of these things. But for example, the parents call and say, we're going to a wedding and there's going to be music and dancing and everything and we want you to come with us because it's your second cousin's whatever's wedding and you should come. So she goes to the husband, the husband says no. The wife should say, no, I'm going to listen, I have to listen to my parents, no. So where a person, he enforces these